Hey, welcome to another episode of Dialed In. If you are listening, I would bet that you are looking for more in your life. Maybe more for you looks like different level of financial income. Maybe it looks like better relationships. Maybe you just want some more peace in your everyday life. Well, I have a resource for you. It's called More Please. And it's a guide with a video where I walk you through 8 different areas of your life and really laying out a blueprint to what more looks like for you in each of those areas, and then giving you action steps to move forward. This is the core of a lot of the work that I do. You can't know where you're going until you understand where you are, get real with yourself about how you feel about it, and then decide what you do want in all those life areas. So it's my honor to gift this to you. Simply go to bigliferesources.com/more please. Again, that's bigliferesources.com/more please. Make it a great day and enjoy the episode. Hey, it's Bethany. Thanks for coming to another episode of Dialed In. I'm here with Chiara Townley. Chiara was born in Italy, and she lived in the UK and Spain, and now she lives in Portland, Oregon. In 2013, she moved to the United States for love, and wait until you hear the story about that. She's a published writer and has contributed to several well-known publications, and she currently turned her personal challenges into a spiritual business. So she loves to write, she uses her intuition to provide guidance, and she works with people to help change their lives each and every day. So buckle up, you're going to really love this episode, and there's all kinds of takeaways. Enjoy. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Dialed In. I am here today with Chiara. Did I say that right?
Yes!
So you just heard all about her in the intro, but now she's just going to share, and there's no just, she's going to share part of her story with us, and we're going to see where it goes today. So welcome to Dialed In.
Thanks so much for having me.
I could listen to you talk all day. Just your accent. I don't know. I love it. So you can start wherever you would like. I think there's so many pieces of your story that have so much power, especially for people that are searching for what it means to live true to themselves, what it means to have spiritual connection, what it means to work on their mindset, to trust themselves, all of those things. So I'm going to just to let you start where you're led.
Right. So I was born in Italy and I stayed there until the end of university. And then I moved to London because before Brexit, it was just easy. It was like, you know, you want to improve your English, you want to work there, you just go to London. And so that's what I did. And I had studied languages and tourism. So I went to London. And in London, the thing that kind of like turned my life upside down happened. I was working in a hotel, and a couple came to the check-in, and there was a young guy with them. And when I look at him, I heard the voice in my mind that said, "You're gonna marry this guy." And it was really weird because nothing like that had happened to me before. I didn't believe in love at first sight. I didn't know if it showed up that way. But it felt really true to me. I didn't know, yeah, what it was at the time. Now with, you know, the spiritual knowledge that I have right now, I can kind of feel that it was a voice coming from somewhere else, like a spiritual voice, like my guides, my angels. At the time, I didn't know that, but it felt really true. And that's what happens when I think you receive a spiritual message. It just feels, it feels like something you can stop thinking about. And so I didn't know what to do because I didn't know when I would see him again. So I'm like, okay, well, so what am I gonna do? And I wrote a note, and the day of the checkout of his parents, I gave it to my coworker and I said, please give this note to this room and tell them to give it to their son. And so it happened. And but unfortunately, he had finished his zero study in London. So he left. He was traveling from South America for a while and we were chatting via Facebook, essentially. So that's how we kind of fell in love. And that's a story by itself that would need an entire episode. But it was
I have a question. What did your note say?
Oh, the note said something like, hey, you know, I saw you with your parents at the check-in. I really don't know how to reach you. So here it is, my phone number. If you want to hang out, like, let me know.
Okay, so it didn't say, hi, my spiritual guides told me that I'm going to marry you. Thanks.
No, it didn't say that. No, no. Okay. Oh man, no, he then texted me and told me that he was, you know, going away, that he would go back to the US. Mm-hmm. And so eventually there wasn't time to hang out, you know, but I, again, had that voice in my mind that was like, well, that voice said I'm going to marry him, so I better do something about it. And so we started to just connect on Facebook and that's how we kind of fell in love. And it started like a fairy tale. And then when we eventually got together, it was, you know, harder because life is hard and it's not like a fairy tale. So eventually there were issues. It was a long distance relationship for a while. Then we broke up for a while. He dated someone else. Anyway, eventually we made our way back to each other. Mm. It was like a very complicated story, but happy ending in the end. So, and that voice was right? Like going back to that idea, when something is like a spiritual message, it's usually very powerful and true. Mm-hmm. And so that's what happened. This story tested everything, my courage, my resilience, my mental health, everything. But in the end, it was worth it. And so we got married.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's kind of the story that changed my life, because then I moved to the US and my life changed from there, because I used to work in the hospitality industry and then I transitioned. I didn't want to work in the hospitality industry anymore. I was tired. And so I got into writing, because basically I was compelled to share the story with my husband, and I wrote and self-published a book about it. And that's how, you know, I kind of started to see writing as a way to inspire people. And I was like, well, writing is awesome. I don't know. I didn't know I liked it before. And the thing is that it came very natural to me to write in English. And so that's how I wrote the story in English. I think it's because compared to Italian is a beautiful language, don't get me wrong, but I think that English has a more immediate character to it, and it's more direct, kind of more like me as a person. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I was like, I just want to study the craft. So I studied on my own, you know, just to improve my English to a level that could be really good to become a writer. And then I started to pitch publications. I was never, you know, I never cared about the writing being perfect. I've always been kind of a person that just wanted to really try, you know, and then I was like, well, you know, if nobody replies, if nobody reads it, who cares? And then eventually I got my big shot because Arianna Huffington replied to my email, and she had already left the Huffington Post and she had created this new company, Thrive Global. Mm-hmm. And so I was one of the first writers to join the platform and contribute. And nice. So she shared some of my pieces on her social media. And so I got a lot of exposure from it, and I was able to land my first clients. And so, you know, I kind of started that freelance writing career, and that was great. And then, you know, 2019 came, we decided to have a baby, to start a family. And so I had a baby in 2019.
Congratulations.
And that, thank you. And that really shattered my world. I wanted a baby, but I wasn't ready for, I knew, you know, I would be tired. It would be hard. You know, they tell you this stuff, but I wasn't ready for the emotional turmoil. And I've always been like a free spirit, like someone who didn't like responsibility. So I knew it was a different part of my life, you know, but I didn't know that it would hit me so hard. It really shattered my world. It was a difficult pregnancy. It was a difficult delivery because I ended up having a C-section after 4 hours pushing because the head of my son got stuck. Surgery was my worst nightmare. So it was really hard for my brain to process that. Mm-hmm. I could keep it together during the surgery, but then after I delivered, like, my mind went a little crazy. I couldn't just process what had happened, that they had cut me open, because that's what they do. Let's just face it, that's what they
do.
So I mean, there's no other way to put it. And so they needed to give me anti-anxiety medication because I was just really in a panic attack mode. So that didn't help create a connection with my son. But when my husband went back to work, I developed postpartum depression and anxiety. When he was home, you know, he was helping. It was good. You know, it took me time to obviously recover from the C-section. It was painful, mm-hmm. but he was there. But then when he went back to work and I find myself alone with the baby, I just couldn't take it. I was like, I don't know if I can keep this being alive. You know, it's so small and so fragile. Sometimes I can't even take care of myself. How am I supposed to do this? Mm-hmm. So I started to develop like this really strong anxiety and panic attacks. And I talked to my husband and said, I don't know what's going on with me. Something is wrong. And so he said, you know, you can talk to your OB, you know, and see if you can talk to someone about it. And I was like, sure, you know, but yeah, you know, I didn't know exactly what was going on. And I've always been kind of self-aware. So I was like, I just don't understand why I'm feeling this way. So I'm used to kind of investigate my emotions. Mm-hmm. But this time I was like, I just don't understand. And it really made me even more anxious because I was like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And so I talked to my OB and I was open to talk to someone. And I even wanted to talk to other moms who had gone through the same thing. So, you know, on Facebook is easy. There are groups for moms. So I was like, hey, I'm going through this. Can someone talk to me? So the problem was that the more I talk about the way I felt, the worse I felt. You know, for some people, it's better because you feel less lonely. You're like, oh, there are other women who are going through the same thing. So I'm not alone. But for me, it was like taking that emotion and identifying with it. So that's the most dangerous thing I understood, is when we identify with our emotions. Mm-hmm. So our emotions are simply waves that come and go. I love this metaphor about us being the ocean and emotions being waves. So emotions just come and go. They're not there to stay. If we were just able to accept them for what they are, we would live so much better. Yes. The problem is that our brain is so used to wanting to give a meaning to emotions, to attach a meaning. And so while I was having these negative emotions about being a mom and not feeling the connection with my son, my brain was telling me, you're a bad mom, you're a bad person. Right. And you start to convince yourself about that truth. And that's when it becomes dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, this doesn't work for me. I kind of want to just ask the people I love to remind me who I was, because I understand this is temporary and I need the people who know me to remind me the joyful person I was, the positive things that I've done, you know, the inspiration that I gave them. And so I started like that, to just kind of ask the people around me to remind me who I was. And then I was like, I've read so much about spirituality and self-development for many, many years, and especially about the chakra system. And if your listeners are not familiar with that, the idea is that we have a physical body, but we also have an energetic body. This energetic body is composed by everything, like our thoughts, our action, our hopes, our dreams. And so it is composed by 7 energetic centers called chakras that are connected to a specific part of the body in a specific area of our life. So I knew about it. I read a lot, but I never really put it into practice. I was like, is this really something that can help, you know? And so I started to just really listen to my body, to accept the emotion. Acceptance is very important. It's just, I realized that is also something that we as humans struggle with, because when we experience something negative, we tend to complain about it, reject it, resist it. The more we do that, the more we bring pain to ourselves. Once we accept it, we are actually able to release, because if we can do something to change the situation, then we are in the right mindset to do it without that resistance. If we can't change it, we just let go. And so I didn't escape, you know. I was like, let me breathe into this anxiety and just start to understand what it's located in the body. And so I started to feel like a pressure on my heart. And based on the chakra system, I used it kind of as a roadmap to understand. And the heart chakra is about love and compassion and self-love. And when that word came to me, I was like, that's the problem, you know, thinking that I'm going to be a bad mom and I'm a bad person, I lost love for myself. Mm. And once I figured out like that issue, like part of myself was already cured in a sense. Mm-hmm. And then I had to use different tools that I had learned throughout the years, like obviously meditation, visualizations about loving kindness and sending light to the space of the heart, positive affirmations about loving myself every day. Obviously discipline takes a big role here, because this is something that you have to do every day in order to retrain your brain, because your brain now it's going to this negative loop. And so you have to retrain it. And in order to retrain it, you have to really do something every day. Mm-hmm. And so I did it and I healed. And that was miraculous to me in a way. And I really understood the power of the chakra system and how it can be really like a roadmap for people to navigate what's going on with their life and with their physical issues too, because when something energetic becomes such a huge block, it manifests into the physical. And yes. So we have to kind of tackle it before that happens. And so after this experience, I was like, I wanna help other people, especially women, you know, to improve their life, to heal, to remove blockages. This is what I want to do. And 2020, I think for many of us, was a year in which we had to rethink many things, because many people lost their jobs and you spend more time at home. And, you know, you can't just spend it complaining and rejecting and resisting. Otherwise, you just hurt yourself. And so at a certain point, the best way you can use it is to really think about what you want to do with your life. What's your purpose? And to me, this came as an idea to combine my love for writing and my love for spirituality into one project. And so I developed the Guidance Project, that is kind of this spiritual business that I started. And the idea is to use all these different spiritual tools that I learned throughout the years to help people. And so I basically ask my clients to fill out the form where they can tell me some information that help me understand where the blockages may be. So what chakras are blocked. And so then I talk to them for an hour. And after an hour where we go deeper into the issues, I then take some time to write down an analysis of what I've heard, what I think the blockages are, and give them tools to remove these blockages. Mm-hmm. And then I used a little bit of astrology and Ayurveda, which is another Indian philosophy that helps me understand a little bit about certain patterns that the person is following in their life, and the four elements that each one of us have in the body, because the four elements are earth, air, water, and fire, right? And based on the astrological profile in Ayurveda, I can see which ones are more prevalent in your person. And so what you may need in order to bring more balance. And then after that, I use the tarot as a tool. I don't predict the future. I don't use the tarot to, you know, tell people specific information about what is going to happen in the future. I actually don't even know if the tarot can do that. I tell you what, I think that we have free will and there's nothing written already. There are possibilities and path where we're going towards and we're more likely to take. But there's no really telling you what is going to happen for sure. This is kind of the possibility that is more likely to happen, let's say. Mm-hmm. So I don't ask my clients what they want to know. I ask the tarot what my clients should know in this moment of their life. So it's a very open question. And then the second reading is about their life path and the soul path, because I believe in reincarnation. I believe that we come to the earth with spiritual contracts that we made previously in our state as spirits, where we decide the lessons that we want to learn in this lifetime. And so how can we recognize these lessons? We can recognize them with things that keep on happening in our life, with people that keep on appearing, that are maybe arrogant, that are abusive, or like we are in a pattern, and it's based on previous lifetimes. And so once we become more aware of this pattern, we can find ways then to break the cycle. And I use the tarot simply to give people the information and tell them what is the lesson that you need to learn in this lifetime. So I start like that. And then I define myself as a spiritual counselor, so I can, you know, help you going through your spiritual journey and support you in that. So I know that's a lot of information. Please feel free to ask me any questions.
I will, absolutely. So in regards to free will, do you believe that where you're at in your life right now, like the results that you have, are directly tied to what you believe, how you feel, your energy state, how you act, what you think? Do you think like your exterior results are a result of your interior being?
Absolutely. Yes. I'm convinced of that. And I think, as I said, there are scenarios that are more likely to happen. But again, with the free will, we can decide the path. And I think the more you become self-aware of your emotions and you start to investigate, and let me say something that, you know, is very important. Don't try to investigate your emotion in the moment you are in it, because that's dangerous. When there is a negative emotion, the brain, as I said, tells you negative things. Mm-hmm. Breathe into the emotion, accept it. It's going to go away. Once you're in a state that you're more quiet, start the investigation. Okay. Mm-hmm. Use journaling, which is great. You know, start to question, why am I feeling this way? When did this feeling start? Does it maybe depend on the way I grew up? Do some investigation. Mm-hmm. The more you do that, the more you're likely to take the right path as you move forward.
Absolutely. Because if you don't investigate and reflect, you know, you can't really have answers to know where you're going. I mean, I think reflection is the key that drives your awareness and keeps your growth on track. There was something else you mentioned. Let me see. I was taking notes. So in the very beginning of your story, you said, and you may not even remember saying this, you said a spiritual message feels like something, but I didn't catch what the remainder of the sentence. Do you know what that was?
Yeah, I think that what I mean is that it's usually something very powerful that you can't stop thinking about. When it's like a normal thought, like thoughts come and go, right? When it's a message, it's something that carries like a deeper truth that maybe you don't understand, like me, you know, in that moment. I didn't know, like, am I gonna marry this guy? I just met him, you know, like, how is this, how?
Right.
But then I kept on thinking about it, and during the dark times of our relationship where we separated and there was really nothing that could suggest that we would get married. In fact, my friends were really worried about me because they thought I was kind of obsessed with this guy while he was building a new life in the US and I was in Italy. They were like, he's, you know, moving on and you're just still here. And I kept on telling him, yeah, but that voice, you know, and so it was still with me. And that's what happens when it's a spiritual message. That's how we can recognize it.
Mm-hmm. What other times in your life have you heard that voice or gotten a message? Has that happened other times?
It started to happen after I recovered from my postpartum depression and anxiety. And mm-hmm. It kind of started during meditation. And my first message I remember was, what you're looking for is your son, which is a very personal message. So I'm going to share it with you. Cause again, you said we would go where we needed to go.
Right.
So I probably need to say this. So because I had so much, like such a hard time adjusting to my new role as a mother, the message was about, you're in this path to look for your spirituality, and you don't understand that your son, a baby, is the most spiritual thing that you can have in your life. And the motherhood is really a spiritual thing, you know? So while I was so focused on maybe meditation and growing spiritually, the message was about look at your son, because if you believe in reincarnation, the babies are the closest thing that you can see that comes directly from source, because they're pure. They are these beings that come directly from, yeah, as I said, the source. And so when you are in their presence, you are in the presence of something spiritual. And yeah, many people just don't see that. Mm-hmm. We are, as mothers, we are always so focused on what we have to give our children, that we have to provide, that we have to teach. We don't see that they are the teachers. They come from the spiritual world, and they are there to teach us something. And so it was a message to try to change the perspective and see motherhood as something spiritual. So it was very profound for me. Mm-hmm. And since I got that message, I started to just connect more with my guides and starting like an internal dialogue, if you want, and asking questions. Because like the way you can talk to your guides, your angels, is by asking questions. You can ask a question, obviously don't get fixating on the answer, don't just stay in a waiting mode. The answer may come through something that happens in your life, an event, a billboard that has a name. You have to just really pay attention to signs. And it may come as a message. Some people see through their third eye, like they're more clairvoyant. Maybe they see images, they're symbols, and they have a meaning. Some people are more clairaudient, so they hear these messages, like maybe more like what happens to me. Mm-hmm. Some people have a feeling, and the feeling is their answer. There are so many ways that we can talk to our guides, but what I want to stress here is that it's not a supernatural process. Like you see a movie and you get scared because you see these people who talk to spirits, who channel, and they have these weird reactions and they look weird. Mm-hmm. It's not the case. The spiritual dialogue with your guides is much more subtle. It's mm-hmm. about you paying attention to signs and to really listen and stay open to receive. It's nothing supernatural.
So I know I have a lot of listeners that are, that maybe were raised in a religious context, maybe with a strict religious faith that involved the Bible, whether it was, you know, Catholicism or Baptist or whatever. How does that mix with like, how does that type of spirituality that you're talking about? And I'm willing to talk about this with you. I'm not meaning to put you on the spot. I just want your take on it, right? How does that mix? Because I know you mentioned you were raised Catholic. How did you mesh this? Because I would bet you there are people listening right now that are triggered. What? Reincarnation? What? Spirit guides? What? Like I might even get emails, and that's okay. It's okay. I just, but caution, like I want to caution you, if you're being triggered right now, there may be something that you can learn. Like there may be something that maybe you need to open yourself up to, that maybe you need to investigate on a different level. But for you, Chiara, how did all this mesh?
So yeah, as I said, I grew up Catholic. My dad forced me to go to church. I didn't like being told what I had to do. And so when I was the right age to make my own decisions, I was like, no, I'm going to find my own truth. And it may be the Catholicism. I'm not saying it's not, but I wanted mm-hmm. to find my own truth. And so I started to read, you know, different books and being open to different experiences. And I picked up what resonated with me. Mm-hmm. So I think the secret here is not to believe what you're told to believe. It's to do your research and pick what resonates with you. Nobody knows the truth. Nobody knows, because this is about finding something like a spiritual meaning to life. You don't have proofs, right?
So it's about that.
choosing what resonates with you. And for me, I pick stuff from different philosophies and books that I read that really resonated with me. Now, the idea of the spirit guides doesn't absolutely deny the idea of God. Actually, the idea is that all these prophets like Christ and Buddha and, you know, others are, they existed. They're all like, they're all in the spirit world. They are masters, you know, and they're supposed to be just higher beings who came to the earth to honestly teach us something and raise our consciousness. So it doesn't deny anything. Now, I don't know in specific about the Bible. I don't necessarily think there's nothing specific to say about it. If what you read in the Bible resonates with you, yeah, you can believe that. I don't think that what I'm saying is denying that at all. I think it's about what resonates with you. It's an empowering way of living your spiritual life. That's how I would say. And so, yeah, it's kind of an invitation to do your own search and find what resonates with you. Yeah, reincarnation is not a concept in Catholicism, but if you think about it, it really doesn't deny it. You know, it's about learning lessons. We're just here to learn lessons. You can see it that way. Mm-hmm. You don't have to believe in reincarnation. It gives you a meaning to maybe things that happen, patterns. It's just a way to live a better life.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Thank you for diving into that. I have a mentor that says, God, source, universe, whatever that is for you, either gets you with a feather or a 2x4. Like, you know, the feather comes first, like the nudges of the little things that happen that you can learn from. And then if you continue to ignore those lessons, like out comes a 2x4, like then you're really whacked, right? Like, you know, I've known all kinds of people that they've been in like corporate roles and they've worked themselves to the point they don't listen to their bodies. They don't listen to the lessons to slow down, to stop being busy, to stop looking for their worth outside themselves and on and on and on. And it gets to the point where they're at such dis-ease that they become diseased and they get really sick and they have to slow down. And I think there are lessons, and that's an extreme example, but I think there are lessons like that all around us of, you know, we can learn from everything and everyone, but if we're so closed-minded that what we think is the way is the only way, we're going to miss out on all kinds of opportunity for our lessons that can elevate our awareness, elevate our love, our connection to each other, to realize that we're all the same and we're all connected. We miss out on all that when we're so stuck in one single way of thinking and being. I think being open, that's open is my word. And because I just think that there's so much possibility that you can see when you choose to have a mindset of being open, even if it is something that you don't believe, it's okay. But just to be open to hearing it and thinking about things differently.
Yeah, no, absolutely. My husband is not religious. He doesn't believe in spirit guides, but he listens to me. He supports me. And as you said, it's just important to respect each other, to be open. And honestly, let's just stop putting labels, you know, right. Like it doesn't matter. Like God is whatever you want to believe, you know, it is. It's just about finding ways to see life in a spiritual, in a more spiritual way, find more meaning. And it all comes down to improve your life and just, find a way to live a better life.
Mm-hmm. I want to kind of backtrack to a different subject that you talked about here before we close, but I resonated with your story of struggle after having your son. And I think that you said before you had him that you knew it was going to be a change. You knew it was going to be hard. You knew enough about yourself to know that it was going to be something drastic in your life, but you wanted it. And I felt the same way before we had kids. Actually, I probably wasn't as self-aware as you were talking that you were before you had him. I think at the time, I did it a lot because I felt like I had to, like that was just your next natural step. I don't know that I truly investigated if I wanted to, you know? And so my husband and I had been together for 5 years before we had our daughter, and we had traveled and just been, I mean, we're adventurous people and we like to experience new things. And when we had her, the pregnancy was horrible for me. I had a heart condition. I could hardly move. I was swollen. The birth was long and arduous, and I was induced, and it was painful. And she was miserable. She was she was not a good baby. Like, she had all kinds of reflux, and we had to like bounce her on one of those exercise balls. Like, we would hold her tight and bounce and bounce and bounce for her to sleep, and she would be upright. And then as soon as we would start to like doze off, she would wake up, and then we would wake up, and then we'd start bouncing again. And I remember like 8 or 10 weeks in, it's like 3 in the morning and she's crying and we're exhausted. And Tom, my husband, has her on his lap, and he looks at me and says, "What the hell have we done?" And we're both just crying. And here's the thing, like I'm a nurse. So I had this checklist. I had it all figured out. Oh, come on. It can't be that hard. They're either, you know, gassy, hungry, dirty, tired. Like, here's my checklist. I got this. And then, you know, and then you get into it, and it's hard. Raising a child, keeping a young child alive, and trying to navigate your own emotional state as a new mom, it is hard, and people just don't talk about it. And so I thank you for coming here and talking about it, because it is hard. It's one of the hardest, those were one of the hardest years of my life, those young years with my children. And I mean, parenting in general is hard, and a blessing, the biggest blessing. I mean, I wouldn't take it back for anything, but I don't think we talk enough. In the commercials, you know, they show like this magical baby, or on TV shows, and you have this bonding moment and everything is rainbows and butterflies. And that's such, you know, it's crap. It's such crap.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for sharing your story. That sounds really hard. Yeah. Women don't talk about it enough. That's why when I experienced what I experienced, I wrote a piece and I sent it to be published, and it was picked up by Good Housekeeping. And I'm so glad that a big name got it, because I think that it's so important to talk about it. The women that I know in my life, my girlfriends, when I told them after I recovered, you know, "Have you experienced postpartum depression?" "Oh yeah, but you didn't tell me." You know, like, there's always this idea of like, "Oh, I didn't tell you because I didn't want to, you know, make you feel scared or something." Right. Or, "Well, when I recovered, then I didn't feel like talking about it." Yeah, but that's not the point, right? We need to create more awareness. So mm-hmm. I agree with you. And thank you for sharing your experience too.
It's, I just think it's an area that we just don't talk about enough. So I hope this serves someone that needed to hear this message. I know it will serve someone that needed to hear this message today. So Kiara, how can people connect with you? How can they find you?
Yeah, so I have a website, www.kiara, my name, Chiara, be like Bravo, Towley, my last name, Towney.com. And there people can find more about me and the guidance project.
Excellent. I will put all of that information in the show notes as well. I always like to wrap up with some teaching points from what our guests have shared. So I have three points that I pulled out of their conversation, even though there were probably 30. I pulled out three. So here we go. First of all, a spiritual message feels like something that you can't stop thinking about. It's not just a random thought that comes and goes, but it's something that you hear or feel or sense, and you can't stop thinking about it. Number two, change is a practice. Repetition is the key to a new way of thinking and being. And number three, you choose your path, your energy, feelings, thoughts, and actions. You are so powerful. So thank you so much for being here today, Kiara.
Thank you so much for having me.
And listeners, we thank you for spending time with us here today. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and share this with a woman in your life that you know that could benefit from the message here today. There were all kinds of things inside of this that could really be a turning point for someone if you share it out. So again, thanks for being here. Until next time, take action, live big, and stay dialed in.